Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over the last 3 weeks, we have spent time learning in this season of Lent of spiritual warfare. We saw of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness, the devil himself comes and twists God's word to try to overthrow him. We heard of a woman who comes laying her prayer at the feet of Jesus, wrestling with Jesus because her daughter is demon-possessed. Jesus hears her prayer, answers her prayer, and exorcises her daughter's demon. And now in our gospel lesson for today, we see yet another exorcism. It is impossible for the church to deny that demons are real and that demons exist and that demons both oppress people, that is, they whisper in your ears and tell you to do the things that God doesn't want you to do, and physically possess people, where they take over the control of these people's bodies. It is impossible for us to deny that this is a reality when we see it over and over and over again in the scriptures. Do not think that 2,000 years later, the devil isn't doing anything, that his demons somehow no longer exist, that they're all relegated in Hollywood. And by that, I mean making movies. Don't think that that's the only way that demons work. It's very clear from the scriptures that they do these things. They try to get us to sin. They try to get us to lead a life apart from the things of God. And at times they overpower people. Jesus had just given his disciples the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11. He gave them that armor. He taught them how to pray. And at the end of that prayer, it is deliver us from the evil one. Cast out the devil from among your children, from among your people. He talks about the importance of continuing in prayer, just as we heard about last week. And then right after that, we have our gospel lesson for today. Jesus casts out yet another demon. This demon had made the man mute that he was residing in, so that the man's tongue would not work to any longer praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So it was that when the demon had gone out, that this man who had been mute, because the demons have the ability to actually transform our physical being, that is, they can take away our ability to speak, they can make them extremely strong, so that not even chains can control them. They can make it so that it appears that they have epilepsy. It appears that they drive them to fire and into water. You see all of this right in our own Gospels. This man now could speak. And so the group around him were marveled. Some of them said, "This Jesus casts out demons by Beelzebub, the Lord of the flies. He's actually just a worker of the devil. That's why he's able to do these things. He's working in league with the devil." Others said, "Okay, fine. To make sure that you're not really just working with the devil and trying to pretend like you can do all these things like a demon worshiper would do, then do some other signs so that we would know." As though Jesus hasn't done a plethora of other signs already. But he, knowing their thoughts, says to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falls." That is true in all three estates. It is true in the home. A home that is divided, that is not focused on the cross of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness won in it. A home that is not focused on daily reading God's word, on daily praying, on gathering every single week to receive the word and the sacraments. A house that is divided, that division will continue until it falls. It is true also in the church. When the church divides over petty things, when the church divides over lies and gossip, rather than focusing on the truth that is God and His Word, it falls. And it is true of the state as well. A nation that focuses on its divisions rather than where its blessings came from in the first place, which is Jesus Christ, will separate to the point of war and it will fall. A house must be united. We must gather together in unity of doctrine, as 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 says. That we gather in unity of doctrine. That we recognize that God is bigger than our fallen human reason is. He says, "You say, I cast out demons by Beelzebub, but there are sons of yours that are also exorcists. So if I'm doing it by the devil, then who are your sons doing it by? But if I cast out demons with the finger of God," the same finger that we heard about in our prophecy for today, the same finger that drove flies and lice and gnats into the groups of the Egyptians, this is the finger of God. And if I am doing this by the finger of God, then you must listen. Surely, if this is the finger of God, if I am God in the flesh, then God is among you. He has come upon you. Jesus talks about exorcism in this scripture lesson. And he also talks about putting on the armor of God. We have this armor in Ephesians 6. We hear about placing the helmet, the breastplate, shodding our feet, keeping the shield and the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. That these things protect us. Jesus talks about when an unclean spirit is exorcised, when it goes out, he goes through dry places, seeking rest. And if he finds none, he says, "I will return to the house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. When we do a house blessing, we place the Word of God in prayer in every single room of that house. We encourage the head of that house to speak these things out loud, to continue to fill his house with these good things. The same is true in a baptism. The Great Commission is to make disciples, that is to make students, to make learners, followers of God for the rest of their life. It is not to just take a random person off the street and say, "I will take your baby, I will baptize your baby, even though you will never step foot in this church again. Even though you will not promise to uphold the Word of God and teachings." When we do those sorts of things, the devil leaves. Because in a baptism, there is an exorcism. You've heard me say it over and over and over. Because we are all born and conceived in sin and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own, Luther's baptismal rite says, "Therefore, depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Whether or not that baby is actually possessed by the devil, or just is fully embraced by it, the devil flees at the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit enters in. But if we do not fill that house with the Word of God, if we do not fill it with prayer, if we do not fill it with the sacraments, with daily remembrance of baptism, then the devil finds seven more, that demon finds seven more even worse than himself, and returns, and the state of that man is worse than when he first left. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot believe that the Bible is God's word and deny any of these things. But I also want you to take heart. The point of me saying this is not to frighten you so that you no longer believe in God. The point of me saying this is because you are engaged in this spiritual war, whether you pretend it doesn't exist or acknowledge that it does. You are a part of his army. You each have a task. Some of it is providing spiritual care, nourishment, enrichment in the home, in the church, in the school. Some of it is as warriors going forth. We are engaged in it. Islam is the military arm of the devil. They have bought fully into the lies of demons. That lie said that the Bible was wrong, and that 6 centuries later, Gabriel, which is really a demon, is going to now give Muhammad the true story. Who says those things? God? Does God come 6 centuries later to say, you know what, the Bible's actually wrong, I'm going to give you the truth? Of course he doesn't. Paul said as much in Galatians. Whether we or even an angel from heaven were to give you a gospel other than the one that we have given you, let him be anathema, cut off, set apart, set away. And to buy so fully into those lies that you are willing to kill Christians for it, how can this be anything other than demonic? Any religion that denies that Jesus Christ is the King of all creation, that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he is the only hope of salvation, is a lie of the devil. Judaism denies this as well. All religions that are not under the banner of Jesus Christ are a false religion. Do not give in to their lies and their folly. Rather, trust what God's word says. You, as a child of God, stay away from the darkness. You do not dabble in it. You do not seek it out. Give consideration later in the book of Acts when we see after Christ's ascension, which reminds us that this isn't just at the time of Jesus, we see the devil still at work. And that these miracles are actually to give glory to God's holy name. So Paul is present. He goes out. The Lord has poured out in a superabundant way the Holy Spirit on him, that even his handkerchiefs and aprons are brought and bring healing. And then there's another group, a group of itinerant Jewish exorcists who took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. This is Acts 19, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Not fully believing in this Jesus, not understanding who Paul is, who has come in the name of the Lord, they try to do exorcisms by this rite. The evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. In these times when things are scary like this, and when Hollywood takes a real story about a boy who is possessed and makes money and movie after movie after movie about an exorcism, the point of all of this is actually to give glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Because his is a name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. At the name of Jesus, there is such power that the demons shudder and tremble. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. They counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. We in America have become so disconnected from the true beauty of God's grace on us. We've become so bored and so dim to these things that large swaths of our population chase after false gods. They chase after crystals, after witchcraft, after all the things that you can buy in a store. They chase after these things because they have neglected the word and the sacraments. This is not for the children of God. They took all of their witchcraft books, all of their incantation books, all of the false things that they trusted, they put it into a pile and they burned it all, even though it was valued over 50,000 pieces of silver. And here we are buying it up ourselves. You, dear child of God, are called not to walk like the dark world. You are called to walk in the light. You are not called to a life of fornication, a life of perverseness. You are called as dear children. And so St. Paul says, be imitators of God. You are his dear children. Walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. He says, but fornication, all uncleanness, covetousness, let it not be even named among you. That is, let no one look at you, knowing you to be a Christian, seeing you acting in fornication, acting in perverseness, acting in covetousness, acting in frivolous living. Watch the way you speak. Not be caught in filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather use your tongues to give thanks to God. For this you know, and I cannot make it any clearer than St. Paul does right here. This you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. He says this also to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. To identify with these things, to live not for Christ but for your own sinful desires, means that you are cut off from the inheritance of the kingdom of heaven. So when churches get an award calling themselves a church of reconciliation in Christ, when all that means is that we will push forward the lies and perverseness of the devil, then listen to the next verse. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. To misuse the name of Christ in this way, to not actually reconcile somebody to Christ by pointing them to the cross of Jesus Christ, by saying, I myself would not get to heaven if it was not for the love of Christ. It's not that my sin is less important than that man's sin. It's that I acknowledge that Jesus Christ has died for my sin, and he has put my sin away from me as far as the east is from the west. And he has told me to rise up and go and sin no more. It is vain and empty words that tell someone who is doing something against what the scripture teaches and telling him, what you're doing is fine. God has created you to do this evil, but not calling it evil, but calling it good. And the wrath of God comes upon the sins of disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. come with a repentant heart to the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Cry out for his mercy, receive it, and live. Do not fear the devil. Do not fear his demons. Jesus Christ has trampled them under his feet. There is great power in the name of Jesus. And earlier last week, one of my professors from my time at Concordia, as he did most days, was riding his motorcycle, got into a terrible accident, and then was called home to the Lord this week. And one of the things that he always did is he would bring something in the pulpit with him to teach a story, and I'm going to finish the sermon with that today. I brought this up before, and this was given to me by a member sitting here today. This is a statue of St. Michael the Archangel. And if you cannot see it very clearly from where you are sitting, or if you're at home, he has the head of the devil under his foot. And he draws his sword which is filled with the blood of the Lamb, and he tramples Satan under the feet. The devil is nothing in comparison to Jesus. The devil is not even fit to win over the chief angel, Michael. So take heart, dear Christian. God, through Christ, has overcome the world. He has overcome your sin. He has overcome the devil. And he calls you to be with him for all of eternity. The church sings. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. Peace in our hearts when sinful thoughts are raging. Peace in your church, our troubled souls assuaging. Peace when the world, its endless wars are waging. Peace in your heaven. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.